photographs, evidence photographs. So if you involved in any crime scene, everybody's taking the photograph.
10 Alabama State University students take notes in a crime scene investigation class. A wall-sized projector screen shows gruesome photos of damaged bodies in various stages of decay. Dr. Gulnaz Javan helps the would-be investigators piece events together.
What you can tell? The story. Say something. You can see it's very bloody, the shirt.
It looks like it's hampered.
Yes, exactly. Here, can you see fingers?
Like somebody tried to grab.
Yes, exactly. He tried to rape someone.
Javan is from Turkey, but she's worked in government and university labs around the U.S. She recently got a National Science Foundation grant to pursue a line of research so new it needed a new word, thanatomicrobiome. Got that? Thanatomicrobiome. It means the living things in a body after that body dies. She says previous forensic research focused mainly on the external.
My project is very different. I focus on the internal organ, like liver, spleen, heart, brain, and if it's possible, I can collect the blood.
Basically, once we die and our immune system stops working, the microbes living in us go to town. They multiply rapidly and spread to organs that had been relatively microbe-free. And
there are unique microbial signatures at certain time points during the decomposition stages.
That's Cherie Finley, an ASU biochemist who's studying microbes in the soil underneath corpses. By microbial signatures, she means the types of microbes present as determined by their DNA. This could lead to a new way for criminal investigators to establish post-mortem interval, or time of death. Now they can go by odor, body temperature, or even the life stage of maggots. But soon they might also rely on the populations of microbes inside a corpse. That's one goal of Dr. Javan's two-year, $200,000 grant. It'll pay for her and five students to study microbes from 100 cadavers. I meet the team in the lab as a machine they call the beater shakes vials of tissue and solvent so fast they blur. They're identifying microbes in tissue samples by extracting their DNA. As you might guess, forensics research is not always pleasant. When Javan started the work with cadavers, she stopped eating meat. The smells of refrigerated tissue samples, let alone a 10-day-old body, are intense. Be glad you can't smell this story. Seniors Fantasia Thurman and Tina Parker.
Like a dead animal sitting in the sun? Terrible.
How would you describe that smell?
Rotten chicken.
Javan's colleague Dr. Finley explains why she and others are so attracted to this kind of work.
Well, this is quite fascinating, wouldn't you agree? We think of death and there's no more life, but actually there's a lot of life in soil and in dead bodies. And if we can tap into the activity and the abundance, we can actually use that to give us more information about death.
Objective data can help with that. Finley compares the new approach to current methods.
The investigator has to use his or her subjective opinions. But when we look at the microorganisms, you know, it cuts out the subjectivity of it. And we can actually look at data to determine the time of death.
West Virginia University's Suzanne Bell has been in forensics for 3 decades and this year was named to the first Department of Justice National Commission on Forensic Science. She calls Dr. Javan's work promising, and she says decomposition is so complicated that any new tools to determine the time of death are welcome.
It's a really delightfully complex process, and there's lots of variables involved in it, but this, I think, will help us sort some of those out. But I think this is a good step in the right direction.
This new step could help verify or contradict crime suspect stories. And Dr. Javan's NSF grant is a new chapter in the story of this historically black university. It's the first grant for ASU's forensics department. Though that program is only 4 years old, the research raises a question that reaches back to the earliest humans. If microbes have evolved to be with us in life, then why not in death? And the work could very well help answer the more specific question of how a person actually died. For WBHM, I'm Dan Carson.